Discussing the discussion of the Kfarim, reading on Yom HaKnisa, and we already know from the first mission of Maseches Megillah Daf Beis that the Kfarim had the privilege of reading on Yom HaKnisa if they needed on a Monday and Thursday, even though it wasn't Yudalid. If Monday or Thursday is 11th, 12th, or 13th, they could read on those days as well. So the general understanding of the Yom HaKnisa is that the Kfarim would read in the big cities. As Rashi says, they would go to the big cities. And while in the big cities, one of the Bali Kore there would read to them. So let's assume Woodmere is a big city. So a small village from nearby would come to Woodmere on Monday or Thursday, and we'd give them one of the Bali Kores to read. Why would they come on Mondays and Thursdays? So Rashi says they'd come to hear court cases they're involved in, Bate Dinim. And Rabbeinu Hananel, among other Rishonim, say they'd come to the big cities on Mondays and Thursdays to hear Kriyas HaTorah. But those Rishonim all assume that the laning of Megillah would take place in the big cities. So Tosus asks this question, based on the sugya and Yivamos, Daf Yud Gibel, and Yud Dalet, talking about Losis Kodu. Losis Kodu, the simple understanding of the pasuk is a person cannot scratch their skin over when they're mourning over a mace. And the Gemara makes a drasha, the fact that it doesn't say Losis Kodu, but it says Losis Kodidu, there's an extra dalet. That learned another drasha that there's also an issur to create different halachas, different sets of rules for one group of people. So there's a discussion, does that only apply in one city? But let's say there are two cities, would that also be a violation? Let's say in one city there are two bate dinim, those following Beis Hillel, following Beis Shammai, is that a problem as well? So we're going to get through all those various details. But in that sugya of the issur of losis godu, not having different groups of halachas, so Tosus asks this question. Tosus asks, how is it possible that in one city that the can be two different readings? So if Woodmere is considered a big city, and let's say Yud Dalet Adar is on a Tuesday, and Yud Gimel is Monday. So what's going to happen is all the Kfarim are going to be reading on Yud Gimel, that's Monday, when they come to Woodmere. And then the people who live in Woodmere, the people who live in the big city, they're going to read the next day on Tuesday, Yud Dalet. So isn't that an issur of losis godu of two different groups, two different halachas in one place? So Tosos is mechadish. He quotes from Rav Chaim. I think elsewhere he's quoted as Rav Chaim HaKohen. Here he doesn't give the name HaKohen. Rav Chaim is mechadish and Tosos as follows. That the Kfarim would read in their own cities. They wouldn't go to the big cities. They would go to their own cities to get the reading. And that's what, therefore, there'd be no violation of Losis Kodu. They could not read in the big cities, because Enech Hanami, it would be a violation of Losis Kodu. They would read in their own cities. And he says, this would also explain another problem, that the Yushalmi tells us that the Ben Ir cannot be Motzi a Ben Krach. Let's say a guy from Yushalayim, he cannot be a Bal Kori for someone who doesn't live in Yushalayim. And vice versa as well. Someone who lives in a place that reads on Yudalit cannot be motzi a person who reads on Tezva because they're not under the same obligation. So this would explain as follows. If, let's say, the villages would go to the big cities and they get a Bal Kore from Woodmere, how could that Bal Kore be motzi the villagers? They don't have the same chiv. Mm-hmm. The villagers read on Yud Gimel, the Yom HaKnisa, and people of Woodmere have a chiv on the 14th. So they're not the same chiv. How could one be motzi? He says this answers that question because the Kfarim would read to themselves in their own city. So
what,
now, the,
what does Rashi do?
So that's the question. The question becomes, according to, how does Rashi get around these two questions? How can Rashi explain the Isser of Losis Kodidu, that how could he allow the villagers to read in the big cities on Woodmere when they're two different days? And moreover, how do you get around the problem of a person from the big cities being motzi, the people from the Kfar? Those are the two questions we have to answer within Rashi. So an answer, to deal with the first and the simple question first, of how could the Ben Ir be motzi the Ben Kfar if they don't have the same obligation? So what the Rabbi Kiviega writes, and he's a mechavin to other Rishonim as well, that what would happen is the Ben Ir would say, Vahibi me'achashverosh, would lane it, and then the Ben Kfar would repeat the laning from a Megillah. And then really a Ben Kfar would be reading it, but someone would be feeding into his ear. So the Ben Kfar would be motzi everybody else. He just doesn't know this on his own. So they have the guy next to him training him, teaching him how to read it. So that's how you get around the problem of a person being motzi someone else who's not under the same level of obligation. Oh, so technical answer. But the bigger question is, how could Rashi and all the other Rishonim allow that in Woodmere, the big city Woodmere, on Yom HaKnisa, all the villagers are reading, but then the Purim itself, all the big city people are reading. There are two different readings of Purim, but two different days. Isn't that Isser Losis Gordu? Monday, the B'nai Kfarm are reading here in Woodmere. They're going to come to Woodmere and read on Monday. And then Tuesday, the people who live in Woodmere are going to be reading the Megillah on a different day. Isn't that a blatant violation of Losis Gordu? That's the question that we have to answer for Shitas Rashi and all the other Rishonim. So we need to take a step back and understand the sugya of Losis Gordu. Now, it's important to mention that the Rambam also, by the way, it's not only Shitas Tosas. Rambam and the Lechem Mishnah's understanding is that Rambam holds that also the Kfarim would be reading in their own Kfar. They wouldn't go to the big cities, they read in their own city. So that's not that Tosas is not a Das Yachid, it's a Shita of the Rambam.
So then why are you going to this? What's the heter of waning different days if they're staying in their own city?
Yeah, I don't fully appreciate that. I don't know. I'm not, it's a great question. I don't know.
But how does it work?
Yeah, if they once in their villages,
to make it one day. If that's
exactly. Once they're all living in a village, so just get together in Purim. Why are they getting together? So I'm missing some point here. I don't fully grasp the idea here. Could be they're out in the farms, and it wasn't so easy for them to gather together. So Mondays and Thursdays, they took upon themselves, we'll come to work late and won't work in the farms on Mondays and Thursdays. That was a regular schedule. But on a random Tuesday or Wednesday, for them to gather together, it would throw off their whole schedule, but I really don't know. Tosis was more compelled by the halachic arguments of Losis Gordu than the practical. Not that he's not obviously he was a practical thinker, but I don't get the pragmatics here of how and why.
And this also goes, almost you can start hearing it goes against people adding chumers to themselves too. That the idea of Losis Gordu, the idea that I can hear the argument. I'm not so sure that they would use it, but I can hear the argument that you're not supposed to do that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. So certainly we have to have a certain consistency within Am Yisrael of keeping the same set of halachas, no chumras, no kulas. Everything should be somewhat homogeneous, at least in the way we practice.
Something to ask for my shekhar.
Okay, fine. So let's take a step back now and understand the Isser of Losis Gordu. So Rashi writes in Yevamos number 6, that the Isser of Losis Gordu, he says, Denira kinoagin shte taros. It appears as if you have two sets of halachas, two taros. If people are following different halachas, the appearance, let's call it maros ayin from the outsider, looks like there are two Torahs that people are listening to. There's a Torah 1, there's Torah 2. And we obviously don't, that's not the case, that's number 1. And number 2 is we don't want people to have such an impression that there are two sets of Torahs. So because of the impression that it gives, we are very strict in maintaining the same level of observance for all of Am Yisrael. That's Rashi, and we'll appreciate this more as we go through a number of the Nafka Minas, but again, it's a perspective of the outsiders that Nira Kinogin Shtei Taros.
What's the reason?
No, that's Rashi's reason. Rambam, now, argues. Rambam writes in number 7, this is Hilchas Avodah Zarah. It's interesting that it's found in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. The reason why it's in Avodah Zarah, anybody know why it's there?
So it looks like you're serving two gods.
Interesting, okay. Could be. I didn't check out the Rama, but the Isser of Losis Gordu, the Pashup Shot, is not to scratch the skin, because that's Avodah Zarah. Over a mace, you can't scratch the skin. So that's in Avodah Zarah. Once we're on that topic, we brought in all the other
interests.
Exactly. As Avodah Zarah. So we also spoke about Losis Gordu, which is a drasha from that same Pashup. So what's the Isser according to the Rambam? So he writes in Hilchas Avodah Zarah Perek Yud Beis, Ubechal Azar Zeh, right, included in that Isser of Losis Gordu, of not only scratching the skin on a mace, Shelo Yehei Shnei Batei Dinim Bir Achas, you shouldn't have two different courts in one city, Zeh Noeg Kiminag Zeh, Zeh Noeg Kiminag Acher, why? Sher Davar Zeh Gorim L'machlokos Gedolos, it leads to internal fighting within the city. So the Rambam holds it creates fighting, and according to Rashi, it's about outwardly impression, what it looks like from the outside. So what's the nafkamina? So there are a number of nafkaminas. So number 1, the Karen Ora, I'll read through in just a second, but just to say outside, one nafkamina is, does this Isser of Losis Gordu apply to a minug? A minug, let's say, a common minug that people have differences, is shaking lulav in the shul. So they have Nusach Svar, Nusach Ashkenaz. I grew up Nusach Ashkenaz. I assume most of you grew up Nusach Ashkenaz, doing, you know, in a certain, most of us. I think you're one of maybe the other 10 here. So this way, that way, that way. And then I came to Eish Kodesh. I have no idea still what they're doing in the different order. Something to do with the Sphiros. And I'll learn it one of these days, whatever it is. So those are different Minhagim. So those different Minhagim. So is that, would that be a subject to Isser Lo Sisko to do? So the Karen Ora, one of the Achronim and Yivamos, writes as follows. If the issue is because of Nira Kishtei Torah, so it looks like there are two constitutions, if you will. Well, Minhagim is not based on a constitution, it's not based on the Torah, it's it developed later on. There's no pasuk that tells me about Nanum. That's a minhag that develops. So that wouldn't Nira Kishtei Torah. So when I see some guys doing it this way and some guy doing it that way, I think it's just a machlokis in Minhagim. It's not a machlokis that there are two Torahs that they're working from. So that Nira Kishtei Torah will still be preserved about Minhagim. Rashi wouldn't be concerned with a Minhag. But if the Isser is about Machlokas, so it could still lead to Machlokas, especially when you're holding a lulav in hand, it could be very dangerous. So two guys, I'm right, you're right. So even though it's based on Minhagim, it can still lead to a Machlokas. So according to the Rambam, who says the Isser Lo Siskodu is because it's Gorem the Machlokas, that would apply even to different Minhagim. But according to Rashi, who thinks it's based on the appearance, the impression, that looks like Shtei Toros, so that would not apply to Minhagim, where we all know it's not based on the Torah, it's based on a tradition that had evolved over the course of generations. So that's one nafkamina, does it apply to Minhagim. Another nafkamina is the Karen Ora tries to fit into the Gemara as well, this Chakira. There's a machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the Gemara Yevamos Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that Reish Lakish thinks Lo Siskodu applies even to two different cities. Which means Reish Lakish thinks that all of Klal Yisrael should be keeping the same halacha. Two different cities, two different countries, there shouldn't be Ashkenaz, there shouldn't be Sfard, it should be all the same across the world. That's Reish Lakish. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, if there are two different cities, what's the big deal? The Yisrael of Lo Siskodu is only relevant in one city, in Woodmere. Some guys doing this way, some guys doing that way, that's the Yisrael. But beyond the city borders, there is no Yisrael according to Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish says it applies across the world. So what's the machlok is based on? So the Karen Ora number 8 explains as follows. Look at number 8. We'll look at read this one inside. He says, "V'sfir olam reading the bold l'Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish holds dafilu b'shnei mekomos have bechlalos iskodu. Even two different cities would be subject to the ishlos iskodu. They're doing one thing here in Woodmere and something else in Tinek. That's a problem according to Reish Lakish. Why? Because nira de Reish Lakish svirle de taima de lo tiskodu." Imagine this. Let's just, you know, we know more. But let's say a Baal Tshuva or a Ger, so he doesn't know much. And he's learning. So he comes to Woodmere, and they're doing a certain practice in Woodmere. And then he goes over to Tinek, and they're doing a completely different practice. So this guy comes out thinking, wait a second, what's going on here? There are two different Torahs here. These guys have a completely different type of a halacha system. So that's Nira Kishtei Toros. So that's why Reish Lakish thinks even two different communities would create an Isser of Lo Siskodu if it's based on the appearance like Rashi holds. Nira Kishtei Teres.
The same thing in the same town. You have somebody who was...
Kavachomer.
Ashkenaz inspired or...
Kavachomer, for sure. That's according to him, Kavachomer, if it's going to be a problem in two cities, certainly within one city, he's expanding it beyond them. But Vada, in one city, that's an Isser. But Rabbi Yochanan now, who says the Isser only applies in one city, he doesn't expand it to two different cities. What's his explanation? So look what he writes. Go down the line in the Karen Ora. For Rabbi Yochanan Svirle, Da'atam, the reason for Lo Siskodu, Hu Mipnei HaMachlokes, because it's going to create fighting. And he goes on to explain, Mishum Hachi Parach Le B'Makum Shinagu, fine. Di'bim Minhaga Nami Shayach Mipnei HaMachlokes, like we said above. By Minhagim, it could also create fighting, because whose Minhag is right? From that's where he proves to b'shnei makomos, if it's two different locations, Woodmere and Tinek, lo shayach lo siskodu, dein kan chashash mipnei machlokas. I'm not going to fight with people who live in Tinek because I'm not in the same place as them. They're 45 minutes away from here. So machlokas will only exist if it's within one community, within one shul. So that's the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan. He says there is no isser outside of the community because it won't lead to machlokas. Reish Lakish thinks it still will be an Isser in two communities because the guy who's observing will near it appears to him as if they're Shnei Taros. Yeah.
And does it talk about Minhagim?
So he said he stuck in there. Minhagim is also the nafkamina. Right now they're talking about halachic discussions. When it comes to minhagim, he says these. It's totally in the same discussion as well. Like I said earlier, that according to Reish Lakish, when it's near kishtei taros, that doesn't apply to minhagim because minhagim are not based on the Torah per se. They're evolved traditions. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Isser is based on a machlokes that would apply even to minhagim, whose minhag is the correct minhag.
So you don't have to do the minhag of wherever you are.
Exactly.
You have to take on that. Everybody in that place does the same thing.
According to this understanding, right now, we're not bringing it to halacha l'maisa, but in Lamdis, wherever you live, you have to practice that minhag. And which is pretty much the halacha for the most part. Makum shenagu, wherever you are, you have to, even though you come from a different place, you have to keep those practices. It's actually happened. You have a question, I know, but there's a very relevant discussion with the Rush. The Rush used to live in Germany, and he was exiled from Germany. He was Ashkenaz, and he went over to Spain. And it was the first time that Sfar and Ashkenaz really met each other. The Rush was the Gadol Hador of the Ashkenazim, and he started seeing these two different worlds come together. And he wrote some tshuvas about certain practices that he had kept that he had to change because he moved to a new location now. So it does, but there's a certain halachas of Makum Shinagu that you have to practice the minhag where you are.
I was just wondering, the near Kishtei Toros has the kula by minhag, and the Bnei Machlokas has the kula by two cities.
Okay.
So where does the Machlokas about Darshan Taima Dekra come into this? I mean, is Losas going to be really Daraisa, or is it just an Asmachta? You know, how can we do, and if it is Daraisa, then...
Good question.
How can we be Mekil, or all this Darshan Taima Dekra, really, if we're just doing this now without discussion?
So the question about Daraisa versus Darabanan is a Machlokas, Rishonim, whether Losas go to the Drasha, it's a Pasuk. But the drasha, the interpretation that it means don't have different factions, that's a machlokas whether it's deraisa or derabanan. Now, if it's deraisa, you're asking how could we then darshan taima dekra? Only Rabbi Shimon does that. We typically don't darshan taima dekra. So they explain that if the reason... discussion darshan taima dekra, are we able to try to understand the reasoning behind a certain isurim? And if we do understand reasoning, that's going to dictate certain halachas. So Rabbi Shimon tells us you're allowed to figure out the reasons behind mitzvahs, and we paskin that we don't learn reasons. Everything's a chok. We try to define them in what the parameters are, but not the reasons behind them. But we do have some exceptions. So Binyamin is asking if losis godu is really a din deraisa, if you assume that way, which again is an assumption. But if you assume it is a deraisa, how could they come along, Rashi and Rambam, start giving reasons why it was usur? It's darshan taima dekra. So it's a very good question. And I think I've seen this question before. I may have seen this even in this conversation, this discussion here. I don't remember. But I think they say when it comes to trying to define, if it helps you define a mitzvah and speak of certain parameters, then it's permitted. If you're just giving reasons just to understand why paraduma is, and it's not going to have any halachic nafkamina, so then we don't darshan taima dekra.
Isn't the whole point of darshan taima dekra to get you to that nafkamina?
Not always. Not necessarily. A lot of times they just try to...
Because it was given for this reason, so that when that reason doesn't apply, the din doesn't apply. And that's what we're doing here. We're saying the reason for the din d'oraisa was mipnei hamachlokas. And therefore I'll be strict even when it comes to minhag, but I'll be,
correct.
Permitted.
No, so that's what I'm saying.
When it comes to two cities.
That's where it's okay. I'm saying when you're darshan taima dekra, it's because there's halachic ramifications, then it's permitted. If it helps you define the halacha, that's okay. If you're just trying to understand what's behind paraduma, and that's not going to give us any halachic insight, then we don't darshan taima dekra. Only when it's coming to help us understand something halachically, then can you start figuring this out. But it's part of it, obviously, a larger discussion, something I'll keep in mind. Maybe I'll give a shiur on this topic. It's a fascinating topic. But on that point, before I go, I get a couple of questions still. On this point, Binyamin is saying something very interesting, that let's assume losis godu is an issa deraisa. Let's assume that way. And the reason behind it is because it's going to lead to a machlokas. So this gets into another conversation of what's called a siag deraisa. A siag is creating a fence, a protection around something. So typically you think a siag is created by the rabbanim, a safeguard that we say wait 6 hours between eating meat and milk, lest you come to eat them together. So those 6 hours is a derabanan, as a siag, it's a fence. So we have a number of examples of Yosef Engel is famous for writing a list of like 15 siags deraisa. So one answer is when it comes to arayos, chibuk v'nishuk, which according to many Rishonim, kissing, hugging, and erva is an issa deraisa according to many Rishonim. But that's only a siyag, lest it lead to more. So that's an example of siyag deraisa. Or something else, yichud. If you assume yichud is deraisa, and many do, yichud is a siyag, lest it lead to something worse. Or let's say bishul basar b'chalav, cooking basar b'chalav. So according to the Kesa Mishnah, the real issur is eating basar b'chalav. But the Torah asks, lo sizvasha gedib b'chalav imo. So that's also a deraisa, but it's a siyag deraisa. It's a siyag lest you come to the real issur of eating them. So sometimes the Torah also creates a siyag. Another example is Tosefes Shabbos. According to many Rishonim, Tosefes Shabbos is a issur deraisa. Why is it usur? Why do you have to start keeping Shabbos earlier? As a little buffer, lest you come to do something on Shabbos itself, they gave you a 15-minute buffer zone, or it could be a couple of minutes, lest you do a melach on Shabbos. So that also is a siyag deraisa. So there are like 15 of them, if you look at Rav Yosef Engel in his Sefer Lekach Tov. Okay. Yeah, Ezra, you had a question? Shlomo had a question?
Yeah, now, what's the difference when you say, like, different minhagim? When do you apply Los Eskodu as opposed to, let's say, Nara Pashte, which sometimes the halacha comes out? Whichever way you do.
Right. But the Nara and Pasha is a situation where the Gemara says, well, the Minog has been accepted by everybody in such a way. It didn't say some people did this way, some people accepted that way. This is a situation where there are different Misaras, two different traditions had created. Shlomi, you had a question? Not in this shul. Not in this shul, chas v'shalom.
There's no such thing as
talking in shul. Right. No such thing. Fine. So then the another nafkamina is, the Karen Orah says, there's another machlokas in the Gemara between Abaye and Rava. Let's say you're in one city. And in one city, they have two bate dinim, which is not uncommon at all. So is there going to be an issur of los eskodu if you follow the practice of your beis din and they practice the custom of their beis din? So Abaye and Rava have such a machlokas. So look inside now the Karen Orah. This is the end of number 9 here. The Karen Orah, I'm reading just the bold here. You see, it looks like this page. I forgot to put page numbers on. But the end of, it's right above number 10. Right before number 10 is the end of number 9. It's a different page than the number 9 beginning. Okay. So he writes, L'fi zeh, nuchal lomar de pluksa Abaye v'Rava. We can explain the machlokas between Abaye and Rava. How so? The Abaye Yisvar, Abaye holds the Ikir Azhara who Mishum Shtei Toros. Abaye thinks the real concern is the impression it gives that it looks like two sets of Toros from the outside. Lechach afilu b'shnei batei dinan b'ir achas aser. Therefore, in one community, if you go to Woodmere, the east side and the west side, and they have two different batei dinan and two customs, that's going to be looking like, from the outsider, like there are two sets of Toros here. But according to Avar Rava Svirlei, it's not based on the impression of two Toros. Rather, it's hatamu b'pnei ha-machlokas, because it leads to fighting. V'afilu b'irachas, when it comes to one city such as Woodmere, heicha d'yesh shnei batei dinim, if there are two sets of batei dinim, lo shayach b'zeh machlokas, leka mishum lo siskodu. Since each based and each set of dayanim have their own sets of practices, they don't converse with the other ones. There's no dialogue, so it's not going to lead to machlokas. We have our based in our shul, in our community. We do what we want here in our little bubble, and you do what you want in your little bubble, and never will the two meet. So there's no iser machlokas. There would be no iser of lo siskodu according to Rava, even though it's in the same city. But again, according to Abaye, that's about the impression of near kishtei taros. So the guy who's in Woodmere, he goes, Davin's one place here, the other place right there. He says, what's going on? These are two sets of Torahs here, and that's going to create an issur of Los Eskodu.
So the more polarized you are, the less you're over on the issur of polarization.
Yeah, exactly.
Asking a rab for Pesach and then going to a different rab if you don't want to keep Pesach.
It's a different topic, but that's going one place to the other place. But I think Binyamin's saying a very interesting point here, the polarization here, that the issur is not so much... We're okay with having different psukim. We're okay with different shitas. That's elu ve'elu divel kamchayim. Our concern is that it might lead to machlokas, or it might lead to some false impression that we have two Torahs chas v'shalom. But the Torah is okay with a range of different shitas. We have machlokas all the time in the Gemara. Rabbi Meir holds one way, Rabbi Huda holds a different way. That's all okay. Elu ve'elu divel kamchayim. From the Torah's perspective, all angles are good. Shivim panim la Torah. The Torah could understand that there are different shitas, and it can be very polarized. It's just in the practice of it leading to machlokas, or it's leading to the impression of two Torahs, that's where the Torah or the Rabbanim were concerned.
But it seems like those reasons are because people will not accept it or will not understand it. It's going to be machlokas because no, I can't accept that you're doing something different.
Correct. So it's
how could there be two things? There's two Torahs. This Judaism doesn't make sense. Which, honestly, if you look around, there's a lot of different things going on. So it does feel like, you know, there's different religions.
For sure. Sometimes. Right. So I'm saying from the Torah's perspective, the Torah doesn't mind the fact that there is different, you know, multiple truths. That's okay. But from the human, from us who are so inferior, we can't really appreciate everything. So to protect us and our impressions and other people's impressions and machlokas, that's why either the Torah created such an isser or the Rabbanan instituted such an isser of losis godu for our protection.
I was just thinking of a really interesting thought because, you know, losis godu means to cut, right? To cut. Kares on some level is separating yourself. So on some level with creating machlokas is separating yourself from the Kehillah.
For sure. I saw somewhere recently that they connect the issue of scratching, which is the real understanding of this pasuk, to losis godu because you're creating separation. That's the same exact point. So it's not quite kares, but the idea of separating individuals, separating groups from each other is what the issue of losis godu, and that's why it comes from this pasuk as well, of not to scratch and make separations in one's body. So to on a spiritual level, a person shouldn't make separations either. Now, one more nafka mina, the Karen Ora says, interestingly, when it comes to an individual, he could also be under violating the iser losis godu as an individual. If a guy one day chooses to do, wear tefillin chol hamoed, and the next day decides not to wear tefillin and chol hamoed, he violates the iser of losis godu. If he goes to one place and does this, and another place he does something else, that's nira kishtei toros. It looks like he's observing two different toros, and that's a violation as well.
If the place is doing two different things? Like,
yeah, even though if the one guy is traveling to do different places, he would be in violation of Nir Kishet Torah. Now, it's saying strange because you have to keep the practice of wherever you are.
Right.
So I'm not quite sure how that plays out exactly.
Agudas is the drasha.
Correct.
The guy can't be in Agudas.
Yeah, so I guess the Karen Oris thinks it's Lav Dafka. He thinks Lav Dafka. And it applies even to one individual who continues to change his monogam based on where he goes. But again, we said, wherever you are, you have to keep to the practice. Now, if I'm from Yerushalayim, and I'm in Woodmere on Yud Dalad Adar, I need to read the Megillah, because I'm in a place where they read Megillah. So, is it not a violation of losis godu? So, I'm not really sure how this really plays out exactly in practice. But that's the opinion of the Karen Ora. He's just trying to bring out that chakira between machlokas versus shetoris. Because obviously there can't be a machlokas within one guy. He can't argue with himself if he continues to change over what he's doing. There's a machlokas, but it does give the impression, the false impression of nira kishetoris. Yeah.
How about, when it comes to davening mincha with maru, what do you daven? Some people daven, they have to plug.
Right. We're not going to get. Right. Yeah. I don't want to get involved in all the different halachas because this could be endless, all the different applications of it. And we're only like in the alumnus right now. We'll get to some examples, but each case is so different. Yeah. Fine. So let's look now at the number 11, the Sama Halacha, a few pieces in Halacha Lamaisa, and then we'll come back to answer the question on Rashi. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's referring to Sfiras Omer, not cutting hair. Cutting hair is because of the Avelus of the Talmidim of Rebbe Akiva during Sfiras Omer. So Shulchan Aruch, really the Ramah Paskins in number 11, the Lo Yinhagu Bi'ir Achas Miktas Minhagzeh U Miktas Minhagzeh Mishum Lo Siskodu. In one community, one city, they should not have some practicing Lag B'Omer, the first 33 days, not to get haircuts, and others shouldn't be practicing from Rosh Chodesh until the end. You should have the one uniform Minhag. So we see from the Ramah that even regarding Minhagim, there's an Isser of Lo Siskodu, even by Minhagim. You have to have the same practice as one city.
We do hold today.
Right. Lemaisa, we do say it. It's different. We do allow it. Nowadays, at least with regards to Sfiras Omer, we allow people to kind of pick and choose and make it convenient
each
for themselves.
Year could be different for
them. Yeah, each year you could change. And if you might have a wedding coming up and you want to adjust based on that. Lemaisa, for this particular example, you're correct. We do allow for it. But the face reading of the Ramah is that even with regards to Minhagim, so there would be an Isser of Losis Godu in one community. Now the Magen Avraham is very bothered by this. Magen Avraham quotes the whole sugya here. He says, Lo Siskodu doesn't apply to Minhagim. I don't understand what he's talking about here. And he's assuming that Lo Siskodu is based on Nira Kishtei Toros. And Minhagim are not based on Torah. It's based on a tradition that had evolved. So why would the Ramah say that there's an Isser of Lo Siskodu when it comes to Minhagim? So the Magen Avraham is Mechadesh, that there are different types of Minhagim. There's some Minhagim that's just tradition. Let's call it how to shake the lulav. But then there are other Minhagim that are based on Isurim, like the case of cutting, getting a haircut during Sfiras Omer. We know the halacha is that an avel is not allowed to get a haircut. It's an isser for him to get a haircut. It's part of his nihuge avelus. So us, as a tzibur, we took upon ourselves, the Gemara Nivamo says, as a tzibur, we took upon ourselves avelus during these 33 days. So that's bichlal, the topic of isurim. So this is a minhag that evolved from an isser. So says the Magen Avraham, when it comes to a regular minhag that's no basis on isurim, then you could have different minhagim, that's okay. But if it's a minhag based on isser, such as getting a haircut during Sfiras Omer, that would be subject to the isser of Lo Siskodu, and for that reason, says the Ramah, one should not have different practices of the 33 days within Be'ir Achas. That's the Magen Avraham's understanding. So now, based on this premise, that minhagim that have a basis, have some level of isser attached to it, so only those have a problem Lo Siskodu to do, but Moshe gives a few examples of what other minhagim are subject to this isser. So the most obvious one is wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed is an isser as well. It's an isser for those who don't wear. If they do wear, it's a violation, because why don't you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? Because os. Right, we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos because Shabbos is an os. We don't wear it on Yantif because Yantif is an os. We don't wear it on Chol HaMoed for those who don't. I don't wear. Ezra doesn't wear either. Many people here probably don't wear anymore either. So, because Chol HaMoed, according to some Rishonim, Tosos and Menachos and elsewhere, that Chol HaMoed is also in os. What's the os? Sitting in the sukkah, eating matzah, whatever the os is. There's some os. So you cannot wear tefillin either on Chol HaMoed, and if you do, that's a violation of too many osos. You can't have too many osos for whatever the reason is. Now, if I'm supposed to be wearing Chol HaMoed, tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and I decide not to wear, that's also usher. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says anyone who doesn't wear tefillin even one day is called a poshe yisrael. It's a very serious title given to someone who doesn't wear tefillin. So there's an isser to wear when you're not supposed to wear, and there's an isser not to wear when you are supposed to. Did I say that already? There's isser to wear when you aren't supposed to, and there's isser not to wear when you are supposed to. So there's isser in both directions. So says the Rav Moshe, this is an example of a minhag that he evolved based on isurim, so you cannot have in one shul two different practices. Some guys wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, other guys not wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Right, so many have a mechitzah or send them up to the Ezes Nashim. So what do we have here in shul? We have a mechitza?
Yeah, or the last row.
The last row, because up here there's no mechitza during the week. The last row, that's what it is, the last row. So so that's an example of a minhag based on isser. Now me personally, I grew up wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And then when I was in 12th grade, we were going to Eretz Yisrael to go visit my brother who's learning there for the year. And my father said, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. No one wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael. We're going Sukkot time. So he says, it doesn't make sense for us to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. No one wears there. On top of that, he says, my father's father, my grandfather, at the time, he's passed away since, but at the time, he didn't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So I said, Dad, why were you wearing tefillin if Saba wasn't wearing tefillin? It doesn't make any sense. So he said, when he became Bar Mitzvah, my father, he asked his Rebbe, what should he do on Chol HaMoed? Should he wear tefillin or should he not wear tefillin? So Rebbe says, well, where's your father from? So he says, he's from Lithuania. So Mistam, he probably wore tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So my father wore tefillin. The Rebbe didn't say, what does your father do? So if he asked the question, what did your father do? Then my father would have grown up also not wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. My grandfather's father was Lubavitch, so we didn't wear tefillin. So we did a Hatarsis Dharma in my house, I remember. We got a few people together, and my father, myself, my brother, and my uncle, we were all there, and they did a Hatarsis Dharma. And from 12th grade on, we stopped wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So now in Eretz Israel, those who wear tefillin, those who dare to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed might get shot there. They go crazy at you if you wear tefillin. The practice in Eretz Israel is you do not wear tefillin anywhere on Chol HaMoed unless you're an exclusively American minion of some sort. Otherwise, what you should do is go back to your hotel or wherever you're staying, wear it till there in Bitsina, lest you get stoned by the very strong, opinionated, minded Israelis. Right, might be okay. Might be Israel as well.
Yes. I've seen some egalitarian-minded tefillin wearers who they're sick of sitting behind the machitza. They're particular about we have nothing to hide. This is my minhag. So
There are other practices. I want to go through all the. There are other issues here. Ramoshe refers to. I'm not going to get that involved in it. But just one other issue, which is very relevant for here in a Nusach Svard Shul with the Nusach Ashkenaz people. So when it comes to Tachanun, we have different ways of doing Tachanun. You know, in Nusach Svard, they'll say the Hurachum and then do Tachanun first. Well, and then they'll jump back. No, rather say first they do Vayomer David, then they go back to Hurachum, and then they'll stand up. Well, Ashkenazim, of course, have a different Seder. And also when it comes to the Asham, the Baganus, in the Nusach Ashkenaz, we typically don't do that. So you should be consistent. Anything in a shul that is noticeable should not be done different than the shul that you're in. So if you, let's say, Nusach Svard, and you're davening in an Ashkenaz place, you shouldn't do Ashamnus like that, where people notice you. You could do it quietly, say it quietly, not necessarily do the banging on the chest, because that's going to be leading to Machlokas as well. Kiddush as well. Whatever you say out loud, it should be consistent with where you are. Privately, that's a whole other story. But the whole issue of that is, it's no issue of nuschaos. Nuschaos is not, nuschaos have real reasons to them. They're real basis for nuschaos. It's not something to play around with. There's Alpi Kabbalah, a lot of depth to them. We can't really play around with it. So it's not really an issue of near kishtei Torah. So everyone knows a nusach doesn't come from the Torah. It's been developed later on by Anshei Knesset Gadolah. So having different nuschaos is not a concern of nira kishtei Torah, but it can lead to machlokas. In one shul, different kaddishes, how you say kaddish, right? It has to be consistent as well, so you have to be concerned with lack of machlokas as well. So that comes up in many different arenas, yeah.
Does that work just with the Ashkenaz? So Svard, who's dominating an Ashkenaz shul, so you shouldn't clap the sham.
Right.
But that is an Ashkenaz.
You should do it. You should do it.
You should do it.
Yeah, you should do it. At the end of the Ashkenaz Sidurim, after Shemoneh Esrei, we have it, and it's in gray. But some shuls, in general, would say Nisach Gra. The Gra Minhag Gra is to say it, so it's not a violation to say Ashamnu. I mean, halvai, we should regret things we do every single day. So we do it, you know, once a year. At the same time, if you say it every single day, it kind of gets, you know, it becomes rote, and then you know, it doesn't mean anything anymore. For Ashkenazim who only say it Yom Naram, it becomes very not exciting, but it becomes more meaningful. So there's what to say for both. But we have to wait a whole year till we say I'm sorry. So,
the Minigatus of Mizrach, you know, you have Svarim, they do Hashanah Baganu, but they don't do the fields of time.
Ah, they don't do the Svarim. Oh, they depend.
No, not like this, but we do, we sit.
We sit. They don't do it on the hand. Okay. I'm sure different Svarim have different Minhagim also. There are many different types. Fine, so let's get back now, after appreciating the sugya of Losis Godu, whether it's an Isser because of Machlokes, or whether it's an Isser because of Nir Kishtei Toros, so now we can understand the Shita of Rashi. We start off by asking, how can Rashi allow the Kfarim to come to the big cities and read on Yom HaKnisa? That means in the big city Woodmere, they're going to have many people reading, celebrating Purim on Monday, which is the 13th, let's say, and then Tuesday the 14th, the rest of the city is going to be celebrating. That means they're celebrating two different sets of halachas, the two halachas, in one city. Isn't that a blatant violation of Losis Godu? And that was Tosfos' question, Yavamos. So he had to give a whole other explanation. But Rashi thinks that the Kfarim would read in the big city, in Woodmere, it's Losis Godu. So the Ritva writes here, Meseches Megillah, he answers this question. And he says, the Isser of Losis Godu only applies when there's a machlokas, when it's based on a machlokas. But here, when it comes to this takana, the way the takana of Leini Megillah was instituted from the beginning was that different places should have different times. That's not a machlokas. That was how it was destined to be. It was set to be in such a way, that's not going to lead to machlokas. That was halacha, that Yom HaKfarim read on Yom HaKnisa, the people of the unwalled cities read on the 14th, and the people of the walled cities read on the 15th. That is part of the institution of Megillah, and it isn't based on Machlokas, and will not lead to Machlokas, and for that reason, says the Ritva, the Bnei Kfarim are allowed to read in the big cities, even though it's a different day than the big cities would be reading the Megillah. That's how the Ritva explains this Machlokas. That's one pshat. Now, The Ran, which I did not put in the Maamar Kamos, has a different pshat. He says, no. The whole reason is because it's Nira Kishtei Taros. And he says something very, very interesting. He says, when the Kfarim come to the big cities, it's like Shnei Batedinim Bishtei Ayaros. They're viewed as two independent cities. Now, even though the Kfarim are actually reading, physically reading in the cities of B'nai Krachim, since they are their independent community, and their das is to go back home eventually, so that's not considered near Kishtei Torah. It's viewed as two Torah. It's viewed rather as two Batidinim and two cities. It's all about impression. So when the Kfarim come in, everybody knows they look different. They're not wearing suits like the people in the big city. They're wearing more casual clothing, let's say. So you could tell who's from the B'nai Kfarim, who's from the B'nai Krachim. And for that reason, even though physically they're in the same city, from the perspective, they're viewed as Shnei Ayaros, two different cities, and for that reason, it's not an Isser of Losis Godu. So this Machlokas of whether Losis Godu is because of Machlokas, or because near Kishtei Taros, we have now two answers why Rashi would allow the Kfarim to read in the same city as the Ayaros. Either because there was never Machlokas in the first place. There was an institution to allow 5 days of reading, Kfarim this day, Ayaros this day, Krachim this day, and there's no Machlokas, and won't lead to Machlokas, or because, no, the Isser is about the impression of Shnei Ktaros. And since the Kfarim are very different, they look different, they act different than the people of the city, even though physically they are in the same city, they have two sets of practices and will not be a violation of Losis Godu. Yeah.
What about going in, does Krachim go on Tisbav, right?